This is Harold Covington speaking, and this is a kind of postscript or addendum to Radio Free Northwest for July the 28th, 2011. Apparently, I need to clarify some things I said in that podcast regarding Anders Breivik in Norway. I thought I was making myself perfectly clear, and most of you seem to have been able to wrap your minds around what I was saying, but some of you seem to be having some difficulties to the point where I guess we need to take another run at the Breivik affair. So, attendez-vous. First off, to those of you who pelted me with emails screaming that Breivik is a Christian Zionist and a Jew lover and a neoconservative, yes, I know that, or at least I know that we've been told that by the mainstream media. I thought I'd made it quite clear that I'm aware of that fact. Now, you guys who shouted at me about this, let me ask you something. Did you actually listen to the podcast? I think I used the expression that Breivik was Rush Limbaugh on steroids, and indeed I noticed that yesterday Limbaugh himself was doing backflips on his show trying to distance himself and Christian Zionism as a whole from Breivik. I'm perfectly well aware that Breivik is most likely a Christian Zionist neoconservative Freemason, and I readily concede that he may well be completely cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs as well, although we have no way of knowing since the reliability and authenticity of his alleged internet postings is subject to question, like everything else on the internet is subject to question. Ask Cass Sunstein. They talk about Breivik's Facebook page saying this and that and the other thing. Well, just a few days ago, I detected some goat dancer or cognitive dissonance op or somebody trying to open a Facebook account with my name on it. And if I hadn't reported that and gotten it closed down, God knows what kind of weird shit would have ended up being posted on the internet allegedly for me. We cannot rely on anything that is on the internet as a source of information. I mean, my God, look at Wikipedia. I suspect that the government shrinks are already shooting Breivik up with drugs in prison, and if he wasn't crazy before he went in, he'll damn sure be crazy by the time he's allowed in an open courtroom, if ever. Nothing like a few intravenous cocktails of tranquilizers and psychotropics to make sure that a defendant babbles like a loon in front of the media during his rare court appearances, where actually physically gagging the guy might give the game away. A little bit more information is now available about Breivik than was available a couple of days ago when I made the podcast. For one thing, he or someone using his name posted a 1,500-page manifesto on the internet, which appears to have been almost completely plagiarized from the manifesto of the Unabomber. So now we've got lefty lunacy as well as Christian Zionist lunacy in the mix as well. Again, we do not really know the source of all these weird internet postings. Lifting the Unabomber's manifesto almost in its entirety looks like some kind of a rush job on the part of some black ops computer geek. Or it could be that Breivik was just a plagiarist as well as a Fruit Loop. Ironically, I recently came across a smear leveled against me that allegedly came from a certain individual, and as it happens, the person in question has been dead for almost 10 years. It's just that whoever did this doesn't seem to know that. But his name lives on the internet, which I suppose is one form of immortality. The point I'm trying to make is that we need to be very leery of anything we hear about Anders Breivik based on the internet, because the internet is not real, and we have no way of judging its authorship or authenticity. However, that having been said, let's assume, for the sake of discussion, that the portrait of Anders Breivik, which has been presented by the mainstream media, is within shouting distance of correct. So, yes, I am aware that he is not one of us. I am aware that he is a Christian Zionist and a neoconservative. I made repeated references to that in my podcast, and it frankly mystifies me as to why some of you seem to have missed that. All I can suggest is go back and listen to the podcast again. Now, as to the accusation that I quote-unquote sympathize with Breivik, okay, I honestly didn't think I had to explain this, but apparently so let's give it a shot. I neither sympathize with Anders Breivik nor do I despise him. He is simply a news item. He is something that happened. He is a man who did something that requires our intelligent and dispassionate analysis, not weeping and wailing about all the pretty blonde people he killed, not ha-ha-ha laughing and cheering from behind the safety of our keyboards like it was some kind of Halloween or Friday the 13th flick. Anders Breivik and his actions simply are. They are something that happened in the real world and which therefore concern us, as 90% of the crap on the internet does not. We need to acquire the art and discipline of intelligent and dispassionate observation and analysis of people and events. Americans are never asked anymore by the media or anyone else, "What do you think about thus and such?" We are asked, "How do you feel about thus and such?" We need to learn to stop feeling and start thinking. A good weather vane as to what we should think about events can usually be found in the mainstream media. Whatever the mainstream media says, the opposite is probably true, and we need to approach everything racial on that basis. It's like the old saying, never believe anything about the government until it's been officially denied. Now, regarding the reaction that I am getting from some of you that the whole Anders Breivik affair is some kind of deep, dark, mysterious Jew conspiracy to deprive us all of our so-called rights, what leftists would call an agent provocateur action, yes, that's possible. I believe I mentioned that possibility in Thursday's podcast. Do I believe that a secret cabal of rabbis gathered around a guttering candle in an attic room somewhere and whispered to one another, "I know, let's get some lunatic to flip out and slaughter a bunch of people in Norway and deprive Norwegians of their rights"? No, I don't. Do such conspiracies exist? Of course they do, as witness Oklahoma City and 9/11. I don't deny that such false flag operations take place from time to time, but the question is this one? I don't think so. Why not? Well, as I mentioned in the podcast, my main reason for disbelieving it is Breivik's target selection. He selected real politicians as targets, not ordinary street niggers or wetbacks working in a McDonald's like an American would have done. If he had been successful, he would have inflicted genuine damage on the real enemy, which is the political elite that rules socialist Europe. Secondly, Breivik actually did kill a bunch of people. Now, government black ops using patsies like this almost never inflict any actual casualties. Yes, I know there was Oklahoma City and 9/11, but these were very serious exceptions to the rule that were really going for the brass ring, which from the establishment point of view is the suspension of the United States Constitution, and with 9/11 they partly succeeded. But operations on that scale only come along every 10 or 15 years. The more typical black op of this type is the bionic backpack incident in Spokane last January, where a so-called bomb was planted in a backpack with wires sticking out of it, so three quote-unquote sharp-eyed city employees just happened to see it, and the whole thing was disarmed and so forth without any actual casualties. Or these so-called conspiracies that the FBI periodically digs up with poor old Apu from down at the Quickie Mart and a couple of his buddies getting arrested and charged with plotting to blow up the Statue of Liberty or some garbage like this. And it turns out that what happened is they had some agent provocateur in there who persuaded poor old Apu to hold some household chemicals in his garage, and that, of course, became bomb-making material, blah, 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 blah. You know, you get the picture. We've heard all this before. And in my view, one of the hallmarks of the usual black op of this type is that it always stays in the conspiracy stage and nobody is ever hurt. I personally believe that the Oklahoma City bombing was an accident. I do not believe that the truck bomb driven by Timothy McVeigh or whoever was driving it was actually intended to go off. That's why people saw the bomb squad in the parking lot of the Murrah Federal Building hours earlier before the blast, because that was when the truck was supposed to be there. The truck was late. McVeigh rigged up a detonator that actually managed to detonate the bomb and cause damage. That wasn't supposed to happen because John Doe number 2, who was supposed to keep an eye on McVeigh and make sure that it didn't happen, got scared and bailed out early, which knowing him is no surprise, and the whole thing basically was a ghastly accident. I don't think that this Breivik incident in Norway was an accident. I think it's pretty much what it looked like. The reasons that Breivik missed those targets at first glance seemed to be legitimate, and in a way typical of white people's usual Three Stooges attempts at resistance. He didn't know enough about his targets to make sure that the Norwegian Prime Minister would be in his office when the bomb went off. And when he went out to the island to try and pop Gro Brundtland, he got stuck in traffic. I mean, this just sounds so much like us when we actually try to do something. This just sounds so much like our level of competence, or incompetence, I suppose you'd say. Again, this is assuming that we're being told something that bears some remote resemblance to the truth. Now, maybe we're not. But if that's the case, then who the hell knows what really happened? Like 9/11, we will only ever know what our lords and masters want us to know about this incident. Now, I still believe, despite the internet gibberish, that Anders Breivik is basically what I said he was. A white man who finally had enough, and who, through some genetic fluke, still possesses the old alpha gene or chromosome or whatever it is that once enabled white males to act on their convictions instead of tap, tap, tap on computer keyboards. The fact that he did so for deluded and neoconservative reasons, and that his skull is full of Zionist mush, tends to obscure things. But whatever his motives, I think this was a genuine case of lone wolf resistance. I think it likely that a lot of the internet crap is stuff that was fabricated by the system to throw up dust. But I am open to persuasion on that topic. To all those of you who demanded to know if I had read Breivik's manifesto, all 1,500 pages of it. No, I didn't. I'm sure we have enough of you out there who will pore over it and tell me anything I need to know. And I have a Northwest Observer to do this weekend, plus a novel I'd like to get back to before Monday if I can. Personally, I think the manifesto is irrelevant. 70-some-odd corpses tend to kind of put manifestos in the shade. Now, to those of you who emailed me sniffling, Harold, you're so mean and cruel. Yes. I'm sorry, I thought you all knew that.